na fella pikin be this now. You know go play instrument. Ah, you know won't be like your papa. So the pressure was, you must be like your father. But I cannot be fella. I love this man. Why do I want to be this man? This man is my father. I respect him, I adore him, everything. But now it's Femi. I said, I better look for myself.
Some inherit legacies. Femi Kuti inherited a revolution. From the shrine that birthed Afrobeat to stages that shake the world, Femi has spent 4 decades proving that resistance can dance.
Unfortunately for us in a country like Nigeria, we don't talk. If Africa was the continent it should be, in Nigeria alone, I would spend maybe 2 months touring. By the time you finish Africa, it'll probably take you maybe 2 to 3 years. You'll make your money, then Europe will have to pay to see African talents.
Why do you think that hasn't happened? Earning 6 Grammy nominations and building movements that refuse to let Africa's story be told by anyone but Africans.
The hit song Wonder Wonder, everybody said Fela wrote it for me. When Bang 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 came out, Fela had passed. If he was alive, they probably would say he wrote it.
What did it feel like when you first announced yourself to the world and Fela basically said the music isn't that good? What did that feel like to you?
In this conversation, Femi shares why corruption is the real colonialism, how Afrobeat remains Africa's most honest language, and why the next generation must create their own shrines of resistance.
A lot of great families, when the father passes, it leads to fights. But when Fela passed, it didn't seem like the family broke apart.
We did fight because we wanted to fight. We fought because of...
Femi, so people are going to click into this episode and they may be on the way to work, they may be working out, it may just be winding down after a long day. So I want you to tell our audience something magical about the world of music.
Magical about the world of music?
Yes.
That's very difficult to explain because music is my life. Yeah. It would be very hard for me to know what it means to someone who doesn't play any instrument or, wow. And I could elaborate on many angles.
Go anywhere you want to go.
Okay, as a composer, I think for me, I have to put myself in a place I think higher forces use. Because it's not something you pluck. The compositions is not something you hear them. But where does it come from? I do a lot of rehearsals, practice, and I think it's a gift. And if you utilize this gift righteously, honestly, and things like this, more will come. So you have to put yourself in a very humble place, a place of appreciation, and those things, and this force will use you to, will manipulate you for whatever that process is, hopefully to bring joy, inspiration to others, including yourself, because even when you write your lyrics, you're teaching yourself. Sometimes it takes you a while to realize this, because you just write your lyrics and you don't realize you are teaching yourself as well because you have not put yourself in that place. So it took me a while to say, wow, I'm not living my lyrics. So I had to go back, start again, that when I'm writing, I have to live what I'm saying. I have to practice what I'm saying. This is, now music again is like law or medicine. I like to use medicine.
Explain.
Yes. A pharmacist is not a doctor. A nurse is not a surgeon. Same thing as a musician. So you have the artist, you have the entertainer, you have the musician, you have the composer, you have the instrumentalist. You have people that can play in the studio and people that cannot play live. And they prefer, they're called like studio rats. They're fantastic in the studio, but they don't want to leave the studio. The studio is their home. You have great musicians that play live, but when they get to the studio, they get studio frights because the studio is so sensitive. You hear everything, even if a pin drops. So I think sometimes people get frightened. Or, I mean, they are good showmen, So they are doing a lot of gesticulations, which you don't do in the studio. So you see that person live and say, wow, this is a great musician. But if you take that same person to the studio, he will just be making mistakes. And so it's a very serious profession that people, I think because of colonialism, people took for granted. Europe and America quickly realized, so it's an industry that is not taken for granted. Musicians are very well respected because everybody listens to music. Imagine a doctor, you had a surgery and your patient died. You go home, you probably need to wind down and say, wow, how did that happen? You probably listen to jazz or classical music just to get your senses back. Imagine two lovers, it's music that might get you together. Sports, you see a lot of them putting headphones on before they go, they're listening to music, trying to get inspiration to drive them. So music is, if you go deeper, music is, you look at the universe, or let's go to the world first of all, in the sea, sound, all the sound under the sea is musical. You go into the forest, it's musical. You go human life, cars, bah, bah, the way we're talking is musical. The way we gesticulate is musical. Rhythms, you go into the universe, the way the sun, the earth is moving around the sun or the moon or the planets, it's all rhythm and musical. Colors, music. So I think the creator is the composer that has brought the universe and life, and it's all musical.
Wow, this is beautiful. I'm just trying to figure out even where to go, but I think one thing I want to even zone in on, because you talked about it briefly, is you just finished a tour.
Yes.
A multi-city tour, and you did it, what, in 1 month?
You know, I didn't believe it was 1 month. So everybody was saying 1 month. So I had to go back and check the dates before I got here. Now, I thought it was 5 weeks, you know.
Yes.
So I went and I asked, my daughter-in-law came down and she was like, so I said, Nedo, it's really 1 month. No wonder I feel so horrible. I must have been crazy, you know. 1 month. it was really madness. I think when we were booking it, I think I've been doing this for all my life. And when they booked it, they said, more shows. I said, book more shows. More shows. So between, I'm still thinking I'm 27 or something, you know. On the wind, I was like, wow. Wow, how am I going to finish this tour? I had to really dig deep, because in my concerts are very enduring and very energetic. And every night, the next city doesn't care where you're coming from. They don't care if you have done 4 gigs in a row. You have to give the same. You can't lose your voice. You can't lose nothing. Nothing more. Because you had some places where people, if they loved you here, if they loved you in New York, then some people might come to the gig in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's not too far. So, and you have to impress. Every night you have to impress. You can't give excuses. It's such a, touring is, but that's the beauty of my life. I don't know what I'll do if I could not tour, you know. I think I'll be so jobless and sad and depressed. So, as much as I'm telling you how tedious it is, it's my life. I really love the tour bus. I really love jumping from venue to the next venue, waiting for the concert to take place, being so tired, fatigue takes over, and you're like starting, going into a prayerful mood. Where am I going to get the energy? Then you have to really be so, what's this word? Disciplined. Because you can't joke too much. You can't. Because your voice, every ounce of your energy is needed for the next day. So people don't see all this. Unfortunately for us in a country like Nigeria, we don't tour. Yeah. We have one gig here, one gig there, but you don't tour. But if Africa was the continent it should be, in Nigeria alone, I'll spend maybe 2 months touring. Going Lagos, Abeokuta, you can do 2 gigs in Abeokuta, you go to Ibadan, you go to Akure, you go Ondo, then you start going up up north, Kaduna. By the time you go, all the states come all the way north and east, come east, Midwest, rivers. I mean, you'll be touring nothing less than a month and a half, 2 months. Then you go to Ghana, go to, I mean, the African will tour. By the time you finish Africa, it probably take you maybe 2 to 3 years. You make your money, then Europe will have to pay. I mean, actually pay to see African talents. That's what Africa should be, really, truly.
Hmm. Why do you think that hasn't happened? And I know I've been complaining about travel in
corruption
Africa.
Now. African governments have failed the African people. That's an easy question to answer. Over the years, from Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's time, you know, that is why when you see what is going on in Nigeria, it's heartbreaking. It's disgusting. I mean, it's when we are so tribalistic or using ethnicity to judge people. And it's so, I don't even know the words. Words can't even describe how broken I am, because we grew up with Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, talking about Africa has to come together. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, my grandmother, my father, Sekou Touré, you know, Africa was bubbling, that Africa must unite, you know. And so this was the era we grew up in. Mm. You didn't go to school and start asking people, are you Igbo or Hausa? You didn't care. What's your name? Uche. Okay, Uche, my friend, or Mohammed. We didn't judge people by where they came from, you know. And, you know, I can't even remember a thought where I discriminated against anybody. You didn't meet a girl and say, oh, I'm going to take this Hausa girl to, will she be accepted? You fell in love, you fell in love. It wasn't about where you came from. It was just, oh, love. You loved Yoruba, we just loved ourselves. This is late 60s, early 70s. So it's how we have stooped so low. And politics has driven this. But when you look at Africa and Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, how he was taken out of government, how Patrice Lumumba was killed, and or Malcolm X, you know, this is where the world really wants Africa to be, division. Because what should happen is, just imagine, you know those fast trains in Europe, what are they called? TV? I've forgotten their
name. High speed rails?
Those very fast, they go like 370 kilometers. Yeah. Imagine we had that. If African leaders were that serious, we should be going like from north to south, east to west. Imagine from Lagos to South Africa by railway line, and which we should be doing, because the scene is incredible. Imagine these strangers going through Cameroon, all the way to Zambia, Zimbabwe. You know, each stop already you are creating jobs. It's industrializing each stop, you know. Can you imagine the beauty? This is what I see. All the way to South Africa, all the way to Egypt, you know. Africa is so blessed that there'll be no need to go anywhere else. Africa should be bubbling with entertainment, love, everything. But selfishness, greed, African puppets who look up to their European and American masters and tell them what to do. But this was always the fight. This is why Lumumba was killed. This is why Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was toppled, or any great leader that was, or Thomas Sankara. Any African that was talking this way was stopped, because Africa has to remain, those colonial structures must remain in place. And we must keep on fighting and not see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes from this book is called The Way of the Superior Man. And it says, a man must love his father and yet be free of his father's expectations and criticisms in order to be a free man. When did you consciously decide that you would still love your father, but you are going to also choose to be a free man? And I can repeat the quote again.
I heard the quote very well. Many things came to my mind. Yeah. Wow. This is this is very strange, because in our culture and tradition, growing up in school, everybody was, are you not going to be like your father? When are you going to be like your father? Won't you play music? I mean, at the bus stop, if they recognize who I was, by the time Fela was popular, wow. Ah, now Fela Pikin be this now. You know, go play instruments. Ah, you know, won't be like your papa. So the pressure was, you must be like your father. I started to listen to jazz, and I wanted to be like Charlie Parker or Dizzy Gillespie or John Coltrane. Their dexterity. Wow, I thought they were machines. I couldn't even believe human beings were playing like this, you know? And then I realized that I could never be them. If I wanted to play music, I had to be Femi Kuti. So I used that same mathematical thought that, but I cannot be Fela. Ah, if God wanted me to be Fela, I would have been Fela. You know? So I started to think that, you know, and I started to wear the same outfits because I ran away from my, I used to stay with my mother. I ran away to stay with my father. So this was probably the happiest time of my life. The freedom was just incredible. So I ran to my father, and so he used to dress me like himself. You know, I was like mini Fela till I said to grow taller than him. This is true. And he gave me a nickname, Okpa Onoyo, because when I, by the time I grew taller than him, he was like, where are you going to? Where are you going to? Yeah? Come down. And, but I wasn't comfortable. Everything was the pressure. So I started playing in the band. Yes, you are going to take over Fela. That wasn't my objective. Take over what? So what if I died before him? That means I've not lived. So I was saying, take over. Ah, but then I started to read a lot of books. Really? I could die at any time. And I had quite a very reckless, youthful life. And said, but I don't want to be him. I love this man. Why do I want to be this man? This man is my father. I respect him. I adore him. Everything. But where is Femi? Because this is, where am I? So, and you can imagine, Fela was huge. You know? And I just thought, I said, I better look for myself fast. Or else I think I'm going to be a very unhappy man. So the minute I said to do that, I think a lot of people said to see that change and they said to resent those actions. One was I left. I left back to my mother. I formed my band and his fan base descended on me. Yay. They hated me. The press hated me. They hated me. Gone. It was very difficult to find a good write-up about me. There was no internet at this time, so I could not even defend myself. But I think the day I left, I told my mother I was leaving. My mother freaked out. What? I said, I'm leaving. I'm resigning. Said, you can't. He was supposed to go to America, and his management came and said, you cannot not go to America. You have to go. You know what? We'll even pay you triple your salary. And Fela won't know. I just looked at this guy's corruption, eh? You want to pay me salary without my father, and you think I will go with you guys? No, stop this. I said, I'm not going. I've made up my mind. I'm leaving. My elder sister, Yeni, came and said, don't even think about it. Don't try it. You know, because Fela had already been illegally, let's agree on that, locked up by Buhari at this time. And so I moved back to my mother, and I was leading his band for 2 years. So I'd gained so much awareness and self-awareness and knowledge of where I wanted to be, the things I lacked. And I was very angry that my father didn't provide those tools for me growing up. So I said, so I moved back to my mother. My maternal mother, grandmother comes, because I was very arrogant for a last son, you know, when I carried the sax. I was saying, yeah, you are the greatest. You know, so all this was, they put all this in my thoughts. When I moved back, After 2 weeks, my maternal grandmother comes and says, what kind of lousy musician are you? You know, you have been here for 2 weeks and you haven't picked up your horn once. And she's very British, you bloody, you know, she was very British rude. I just looked at her that, eh? Nobody can talk to Femi Kuti, Felason. Nobody dare talk. You know, I was angry that how dare this woman talk to me, Femi Kuti, like this. But what she said was so true. I said, crying. You know, I cried all night. I think those words saved my life. I always thank her. Because if she didn't say that, I said, so what have I been doing? Why did I let these people get to me? And so I picked up my horn and I could hear telling my mother, I give that bloody son a piece of my mind. Bloody fool. Thinks he can come here and say, fella son, who the hell does he think he is? Oh, God. My granny. Okay. So I said to pick and I said to practice. So all these changes happened. So everybody was so against me. And I started positive force slowly. But then I knew. This is the period I knew I had to feel my pain. I have to strive for my own success. I knew I wanted to have children. Being under my father's roof, I didn't even see that dream. I didn't even see any possibility of my life. I saw my life in his life. And so I started to walk towards this. And it was a very difficult 10 years of my life, I would say. Then
it's sort of interesting because the narrative arc, whether it was from Fumilayo to Fela, even to you, is also one of rebellion, but rebellion to find oneself. Yes. But it's interesting how the two people who had led rebellions were now the ones saying to you, why are you leaving or where are you going to?
My grandmother, paternal grandmother, she wasn't.
Okay, she
was maternal.
Maternal grandmother, okay.
Yes, this is my mother's mother that was advising me.
Okay.
Now, again, you could say, yes, my father really rebelled in a way, but his mother and his... I think he rebelled against religion because he came from a very religious, prestigious home. And Fela was a very down-to-earth man. Like if you go by what was happening in Calcutta. So would I say the middle class as such, there was a large section of the country that despised him because the plumber was human. So Fela was, everybody should be on equal
footing.
Yes. And Fela couldn't understand why there was discrimination. Everybody must, even in his home, we, his children, while there was no, we had no, he didn't teach us, he didn't bring us up to be better than anybody in the house. I mean, it was equality. We called him Fela, don't call me daddy. And when we tried to call him daddy, he would not give us pocket money. So quickly we learned, no pocket money. Fella. So people wonder why we don't call him daddy. He banned us immediately. This was even before, this was as soon as he came back from America. Don't call me daddy again. You know, he completely changed. Fella changed when he came back. But everybody adapted to Fella's tune. And he rebelled against his, because his mother, and he was very close with his mother.
Yeah.
So I would say, I think she understood his political fight and she supported, she was at all his court cases.
Yeah.
And that people called her Aje and they called him Omo Yaje because all the time he was alive, he never lost any case because she would sit and look the judge in the eye, you know. Oh, jail my son, let me see you, you know. And I remember this story when they went to report to her that Fela was smoking Igbo. So she got, and they told her that it makes people crazy. She was in Abeokuta. She quickly drove down fast. Fela, they say you're smoking Igbo. What's all this I'm hearing? And Fela was Yes. You say, mommy. Mommy. Ah, mommy. Ah, I smoke Igbo. So, fella said, where's Igbo? What are you smoking? So, fella showed her a joint. And she says, is this it? She said, yes, now. So I think she was expecting to see. I don't know what she was expecting to see, but said, ah, this is it. So she held the joint. They said, it makes you mad. She said, ah. So he said, let me show you. So he lit it. And he took some pop, said, probably she was waiting for him to go mad. See, I'm normal. Said, ask me anything. I don't know what they are. I think so. I mean, they had that discussion. So she came with her sister. So he told his mother to try it. Say, mommy, try it. She said, no, don't worry. But the sister tried it. Apparently, she ate and slept. Never to try it again. So, I mean, Fela and his mother were close. Mm. I mean, really close. So he didn't rebel against her as such. He was rebelling against the religious studies that he was meant to adapt to, or that was superimposed on him from such a religious home. His father was a reverend, you know. He was really rebelling against the corruption and bad government in Nigeria. So that is why probably I was seen as, how dare you go against our man? And I tried, no matter what I said to people, that, look, I don't want to be Fela. I don't want to be this man. I love this man. You know, no matter what I said, they twisted my words. They always made people see me in the bad light. It was a very difficult period of my life. I didn't start making a name in Nigeria till, you could say, 10, 12 years after I left. Even when I had the hit song, Wonder Wonder, everybody said Fela wrote it for me. What even saved me was, I would say saved me, because it's not a good word. When Bang 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 came out, Fela had passed. So they could not attribute that album to him. If he was alive, they probably would say he wrote it. Now Fela would never, ever cheat for his children. Never. You have it or you don't. So, and he will never encourage you, but he will let you chase your dreams, not to be an Amro Basha. But if you said, when I said, he asked me, do you want to leave school? I said, yes. You want to leave school? Very good. Oh yeah, leave school. He will encourage you to leave school, but he will not let you leave school to be a non-entity. Oh yeah, since you have left school, oh yeah, read these books. So I did a lot of reading. I read so much, you know, Autobiography of Malcolm X. I read any book I could read, Stolen Legacy, Black Man of the Nile. I just wanted to know about death. I was so curious about death. So I said to read any book that showed me people's eventful things that happened in their lives about death, up to this Book of the Dead, Egyptian Book of the Dead, Chinese Book of the Dead. I was going, just reading to just find, just researching, basically. So probably that's why people could not understand my action. But I think it was very simple. As I'm explaining to you, I just wanted to be Femi, Fela's son. I was not in competition with my father. Again, they now twisted it. You can never be like Fela. You never succeed. You know, then it was like, hey, what's wrong with all of you? Where is the competition? How can I be competing with this man that has inspired me? Why do I want to be greater than, you know, I wasn't even thinking about greatness. I just wanted to play music. Now, this is a guy that wasn't taught music. I was given the trumpet about 8. Say, take, go and learn. Learn how. Tell me, learn how. So I had a cousin, Okolawan, who was learning the trumpet. So we said to learn. He taught me the scale of C major. Then he disappeared. So obviously, no teacher again. The next time I picked up the sax was 14, 15. Because by this time, Fela had moved from playing the trumpet to the sax. So Fela now calls me one day. Are you, do you still want to play music? I said, yes. Do you want to play saxophone? Ah, I would love to. Oh yeah, take. So he puts it on my neck. Oh yeah, you put it like this. Oh yeah, blow. Bah, okay, good. Oh yeah, take. Bye. Go and learn. Go and learn how. You know? So when I get home, my mother will get angry. His father sent him to the best school, Trinity College in England. He can read, he can write. How does he want you to play music and you keep showing your desire? So, family meeting. Uncle Koye, his elder brother, had the meeting. My mother, come this way, you are bringing this boy up. He's going to, there's nothing for him in this life. You know, and I'll be in the meeting. Sometimes they will call me. What your father is doing is wrong. I will go back and tell fella, will they stop interfering in my life? You know, fella getting angry. And I'm caught between his elder brother, my mother, and him. Of course, who do you think I will support? Who do you think I supported? My father now. Yeah. So I learned to, I was more of his, he was my, fella was my person. Fella was my person gone. No, we got up to some things that I cannot even tell you. You know? So why they were bringing this friction? I could not even understand as a young boy. So he now said, okay, since everybody's putting pressure, he says, Babani should teach me. So Babani said to teach me for about a week and a half. And my mother really got angry that, I said, send this boy, send my son to a music school. You are telling Babani to teach him. So I have nothing against Babani, but I want him to get a proper education like you did. Please send him to England. My father said, no, he can't send me to a colonial country. That the best he will do is, okay, I should go to Ghana. My mother was so angry. In the end, they fought. What happened? I didn't go anywhere. So I was left with, I bought How to Play the Saxophone. And I said to teach myself.
The book?
Yes, How to Play the Saxophone.
Wow.
So I said to know where seats, you know. So Babani had already, from what Babani was teaching me then, see. So I said, I just took over that book and I said to teach myself. So there's a video where fella says, I did everything myself. So when they were not giving me credit, again, that wasn't my intention. I just wanted to play music. Do you understand my...
But actually, you know, I have a question on this, because when did the Kuti name shift for you from a burden to the blueprint?
You mean it was a blueprint before? When did it become a burden, then a blueprint?
Yes, then back to the blueprint.
Yes, because it was a blueprint and then there was this almost this pressure, this feeling, and then it shifted to a blueprint.
It never was pressure in a way. It was just people... I didn't see pressure because I love my father. I didn't see the legacy of my grandmother, Miss Fumlayo. We loved her at a time. At a time, we didn't even like her. Because when we were young, Fela made us go and stay in Abeokuta with her. And she was a disciplinarian, right? So we wanted our mother. So we didn't like our time in Abeokuta. Fact. So we did everything to get out of that till something, an incident happened, and we were brought back to be with my mother. So we didn't get to know her till the 70s. Now, this is 60s, till the 70s. And Fela now said to have trouble. So we said to see her in another light. She was very caring. She was a very beautiful person. You know, she was, I used to have this big afro, and she used to, I hated people touching my hair. And every time she, when she's in Calcutta, she was on the first floor. If I go, she was always the first person I went to go and say, greet when I got back. Good afternoon, granny. She would just put her hands inside my hair. I would be angry. You know, so I said to resent. But I love to go and say, because she was fun, right? But when I go, say, you have snakes and lions inside your hair. And I hated that. Oh, granny, don't. Do you know what it takes me to come this year? The hair cuckoo has all gone. The irony of life. It was never a burden. Because I love my family. So I could understand why people were changing the narrative. Why they were trying to bring war why the journalists were so, I couldn't even understand, you know. Many times I would sit with my mother and just say, ah, they really hate me. Ah, these people hate me. But why do they? We couldn't figure out in my maternal, my mother's home, why there was so much hatred for me. Why could they not understand my point of view? So, but I just, since I couldn't turn back. And I made up my mind, I'd rather die trying than even give them an ounce of joy that they put pressure on me and I failed to follow my dreams. So I just said to walk. That talking my maternal grandmother gave me, I just, minimum every day, 6 hours, 6 hours, trying everything I could, listening to everything I could listen to, just listening, 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 listening. We had gigs, nobody would talk about at the concerts. That was a show we had in LASU, Lagos State University. 5 girls, I will never forget them. Advertise the show, 10 to dawn. We got there, set up. By 11, nobody. 12, nobody. At this time, the French government had agreed to take my band on a cultural exchange. And so we were excited. 12, nobody. 1, people will still come. They didn't sell 1 ticket. So these girls now came inside and the band had started playing. They said, sir, no need to play again, you know. It's okay. They paid us quite a large sum of money. So me, I couldn't refund the money now. Where will I? I think I probably have spent it. So I just used that night to rehearse the band, getting ready to go to France. France, when we got to France, we played in Angoulême and we opened for Jimmy Cliff. The front page of the paper was Femi Kuti, star of the night. That article was what we now use as a blueprint to start touring. So we started getting popular in Europe. Ah, who is this Femi Kuti? Who is this Femi Kuti? A lot of people, the towns and small cities, nobody knew Fela Son then. By the time even Bang 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 came, many people did not know, they did not put the connection between Femi and Fela, because I was so popular with Bang Bang Bang. Bang 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 was everywhere. And then when Fela passed, at this time, Fela passed, so there was a lot of publicity of Fela's death. Oh, so Fela's son, Femi, Fela, blah, 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 blah. Again, they started their razzmatazz. You can never be bigger than your father. Yeah. It's not a boxing match. It's my father. Now, if you want to compare me, you like compare me with your children or your father. And hey, that's where we can sit down and start to say, then we have to now talk about, what were your opportunities? What were my opportunities? How did I get to where I am with no opportunity at all? Yes, you say Nepo baby. I wasn't a Nepo baby because I fought. So my son will always argue that he's a Nepo child. You daddy, you are not a Nepo child, you know. And it's understandable. What else can I say? But I don't think there was any pressure. I didn't see that pressure. I saw the pressure of trying to excel, personally speaking. That probably was a pressure because I knew there was Michael Jackson, Prince, there was all these big stars from America. And here in Lagos, how will I get heard? When everybody's even saying you will never be heard, how will I, you know, my mother had 20,000 naira. I finished that money with my band. Then my younger sister, we fought gone. She died of cancer. And one day she comes and says, this music is not working. Why don't you be a fisherman and go and, you know, that bridge, you know? I'm laughing now, but it wasn't funny. You know that bridge that leads from Federal Palace?
That's the seafood market.
Those people fishing. See, you have finished mommy's money. Go and better go and fish. Maybe at least we'll eat. If I could have given her a slap, her head would have turned 1 million times before it would have been correct. It's even backhand that I've given her. You know, I looked at her but we still continued, you know. Then we got the break to France when all hope was completely lost that. Me go, I said, say, ah, but yeah, I should be thinking of fisherman.
What did it feel like when you first announced yourself to the world and Fela basically said the music isn't that good? What did that feel like to you?
Sorry for shouting. My first album, 1989. See, I remember my life like, you know, I remember everything very clearly, very clearly. 89. So Fela comes to Echo Hotel because we invite him to the launching. We plays. He says, this is rubbish, you know. What is he playing? You know, and Fela didn't hide anything. He would just go to the press. He would just talk, you know. Me, even if I don't like what my children are doing, because I know how wicked the world can be, I will always protect my children. I think Fela, I won't say he didn't realize. I won't say he was a novice. Probably it just didn't come to his thoughts. For instance, somebody comes to tell Fela, he says he works for the CIA and he has facts that Obasanjo's government with the CIA are planning to kill him. This is just before the burning of the house. And Fela just took his joint, smoked, kill me, they can't kill me. If you come and tell me that CIA is planning to kill me, you want to kill me? You know, everything around me will start, everybody. So, who are you? You say, you know, I will change. Fela was, he was so free-spirited. He didn't take, and I don't know why. Because when you see the way Lumumba was killed, for instance, you know, when I read those books, I mean, you are afraid that, wow, that event was what they did to that man. It's appalling. I can't even find the words to describe, because when you read those books, you are like, wow, they dealt with this man. Why? Because he wanted the best for Congo. So again, Fela, that was, I mean, with all the police raids, I mean, he would protect his house, like electrifying the fence, blah, blah, blah. You know, but he was still in the fight. You know, he was still there. Even when he lost everything, you know, then he was believing in some kind of supernatural power that, you know, he believed in African, that one day police will come and he will tell Tonga to kill them or something. You know, I think he was... We'll use that for another topic, because Fela the man, again, is a completely different topic. It will take us all day. So your question again was... So
how did it feel when he criticized the music?
Yeah, so I was like, I was pained though that day. You know, pained that, who are you to criticize me? You didn't teach me. I'm finding my way. And then you have the audacity to criticize me. But he gingered me again. I said, don't worry, I will show you who I am. So I went back to work. Instead to practice. I had a tune, Mind Your Own Business. And one tune I wrote, No Place for My Dream, came out in, I can't remember the year, but it's an album now, No Place for My Dream. So I wrote those two songs. And every time we played it in a small gathering, I said to notice people who are reacting that, wow, but boy, it changed, you know? So I knew I'd gotten the vibes, my vibes. I said to know that, I'm heading in the right direction. In 1991, my grandmother was celebrating, I think it was her 60th. So we moved to Omole Estate and Fela came to, because he was still close with us. So he came to wish her, and then on his going, when his name, he says, so what are you doing now? I said, nothing. We don't have a place to play, so we are waiting for shows, you know. Fela, you know, again, Fela was very, even if he showed he didn't care, he was still very caring. Because when we go on tour, like, I borrow money for flight tickets. When we come back, the first thing he says, have you paid it? Have you played the BC that you? I say yes. Thank God, though. Because I was just thinking, if you come back, how am I going to pay this flight ticket for you? Because he knew we were still his responsibility. I think he just wanted us. Fella love. I don't want to say poor people. It seems so, such a horrible word. He love, not the downtrodden, let me see, the underprivileged. And I think he admired people's fight from nowhere to success. So probably he just wanted us to be nowhere. And probably was in his mind was saying, he still had a prayer that find your way. If you succeed, it's still Fela's credit. Abi, if you fail, it's Fela's failure. So he probably just put me basically in the forest that, oh yeah, go. You know those kind of nobles that the father will put you, oh yeah, lion. If you come back, then you are a man.
You're meant to be king.
Yeah, it's something like, probably in his mind, because as you ask this question, I'm still thinking deeper on the thought. And it says, he cared. I can't say he didn't love us. So I think deep down he was very prayerful that Femi must not fail. And then he could not, if people asked him, is Femi doing well? He could not lie. He was doing well, or give me a chance where I didn't deserve a chance. So probably telling the public frankly is no good. We probably kickstart something again in me. Probably that was, because when I look at Maddie sometimes, I do some things that will, you know, twist or, you know.
Kickstart.
So probably the parent has that. Probably as a master himself, probably, I don't know. But I don't want to give him excuses he doesn't deserve. But if I know the father I have, I would probably lean more to, probably this was what he was doing. And so I think, so he comes and he now says, okay, you don't have anywhere to play. He had canceled his, he used to play Tuesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. He had canceled Tuesdays and he was canceling Sundays. He says, you know what? I don't play Sunday again. Do you want to play Sunday jump? I said, yes, fella, we would love to play Sunday jump. Okay, you play Sunday jump now. Done. Then he's getting into his kabu-kabu. He didn't have a car. He says, we start immediately. Yes, fella. No, let's give it some time because I want to announce it for some Fridays and Saturdays to let my people, my fans know we are going to start playing Sundays. Okay, last Sunday of September. Is that good for you? Excellent. And that was how we started playing Sunday jump at Purple Street. Now, we were doing open rehearsal there. So his fans started to come to watch us. So they knew my songs before him. I think a lot of people were envious about me in Calcutta. So they were telling him lies that, Femi, you know, he's not Sabi Play, just a, you know. So Fela came with that same attitude that, oh, when is this boy or going to make me proud or something? So he comes, he sits down. My sister is best to describe his reaction. So he comes and he has NYOB. He has No Place for My Dream, and he's like, not bad. But he has Mind Your Own Business. And he gets up and he starts dancing, you know, starts stamping his feet. Then he says, wow. Then the whole shrine erupts because this is the first Sunday. Because Fela gets up, the whole place, you know, everybody was, what is Fela going to, but they already knew. So whatever they were feeding Fela was lies. But his fan base already knew that they, I think they too had a problem with, should we show this guy love or not? So they are waiting for, so the mini fella, you know, this is very funny today. But the mini fella got up and said, the whole shrine, the place was scattered, you know, and fella called me, said, wow, I'm proud of you. So I think, again, from his reaction after, I think he was very concerned about all of us. He's our father. You understand? He was a Pan-Africanist. He was a fighter. Probably, if he had showed the world his true love, probably they would have used one of us to get to him. Because again, my mother was very frightful. there should be a car parked. We used to stay in the quartier by our house every morning at 7 a.m. and used to leave at 7 p.m. And my mother's mother would always say, that's the SSS. That's the SSS. See, why is he just reading the paper all day? So every time we wanted to go and play ball, or my sister's, please, Femi, be careful. Yanni, be careful. And she'd be showing us, look, they're spies. Don't let them get to you to get to your father. You know, so we lived in that at the back of our heads. But children, you don't really see the seriousness of what your parents are saying. Which SSS, mommy, I want to go and play ball. Maybe it's just over the road, I'm going to play ball. You know, and if we go further, why did you go further? If she says come back at 6, my mother will worry. She will have thought that somebody had kidnapped us, or, you know, actually we go hysterical. My, God, my mother was another case. So, probably he was protecting us. If you look at it politically again, if he had showed he cared, then those forces that he was against would probably have hurt us, because we used to, he was so rich. Fela was a multimillionaire, but we enjoyed going to school with our friends. So we take the bus from my house, Ikate, to stadium to Yaba to, for instance, Obanikoro, where I was schooling in Baptist Academy then. So, and we take the same route back. And we used to enjoy those bus rides. Sometimes the car will come and pick us. Now I used to drive a car at 12. So this is the kind of freedom I used to have as a young boy. Now I can't imagine Maddie driving at 12. One day he got in the car. When I knocked, he said, get off the car. You know, well, you see, Fela was that kind of person. Do what the hell you wanted to do.
Mm.
See, I've answered so much questions with one answer that I'm wondering why you still have questions to ask.
Oh, no, we have.
We haven't started.
But I want to now go into sound, right?
Yes.
And specifically Afrobeats, because there's this fight of, like, what is it? What does it consist of? So can you walk us through that, and even how
Afrobeats.
Your sound, yes, and how you expanded on it?
This is quite difficult because I can only use Fela as reference. Fela grows up in Abeokuta. He grows up with African cultural traditional folk songs like Alu Joy Joy Ki Joy. This was on the streets. Everybody knew it. Any Egba man knew these songs. Fela was taught by his father, his grandfather's hymns, and his father's hymns. Now, his father wrote Mayo, 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 Lori, the national anthem of Abeokuta. His grandfather was the first West African to record in 1925, I think it was. His great-grandfather was a composer. We traced 7 generations through Onkukoye of musicians, composers. So that Fela turned out the way he turned out really is no surprise. He just followed, because his father was a priest, but he was a composer. He could play the piano. His grandfather too, and his great-grandfather. So that he didn't do well in physics, chemistry, and failed medicine, you know, got to England, and his brother, Uncle Beko, told him that. Who? And Fela was a dunce in school, you know. So when I was a dunce, Fela was very happy. I was a if I come back and tell Fela I failed, you failed? Well done. You know, if I say, I passed. Okay, you pass, okay. Well, you know, those, a very strange person. If I get to school, they are my friends, their fathers will have beaten hell out of them. I will become smiling. You know, when I repeated for one, I cried though. If I told Fela, Fela said, you repeated from one. I what's your problem? Me, I repeated from one. I repeated from two. I repeated from three. Uncle Beko met me from three. I repeated from four. Uncle Beko left me from four. Go to England. I repeated from five again. Uncle Beko was already becoming a doctor before I went to England. So Fela failed woefully. So I think because of his life, he didn't see education to be the foundation of one's success in life. That it couldn't be. I think he knew there had to be alternatives, that you could make something out of your life, and school wasn't the blueprint for success, so to say. Because if that was the case, look at him, you know. And even the music self, he failed his first year. So, you know, he did very badly in music. He just barely passed. And when he came back to Nigeria, before he found the sound, the competition was, I mean, you had people like Chief Olaya, I mean, High Life was, who are all these great Ghanaians. He had to change the High Life to start to play because Fela was more into jazz. So his own High Life was more jazzy High Life. So Fela had all this. He was classically trained, folk song, his grandfather's hymns in him, his father's hymns in him. He comes back from England and then he's thinking, his mother says, calls him, say, come, if you find your own music, if you want to be successful, that your people can relate with, because what you are doing is, they are not relating with you. Okay, he goes to America. The club he's playing with, the guy calls him, all this Fela tells us, and he says, Fela, we love you, but you see, you are not connecting. You need to find your own sound. His girlfriend then too, Sandra Isidore, calls him, say, what are you singing? What's, tell me the lyrics, because you used to sing in Yoruba. Oh, Betty Odun. You are singing about soup. Soup. The soup is not sweet. Do you know what James Brown is singing? Then she gives him books. So this completely changes Fela's orientation and thoughts. But then, this is what his mother was doing. Because if you go to his mother's fight, fighting for women not to pay taxes, fighting, she was so huge politically. And she was, people say she was Fela's, Fela was her favorite, because all her meetings, it was Fela she used to take with her. So was he not listening?
He was.
You know? Which kind of, he was just going to the meetings, he saw his mother was talking to him, it was entering and coming out of here. So maybe he needed love to reboot his, God forgive me, to reboot his head. So he goes, and then he sits in his piano that day and writes his first Afrobeat song, Frustration, My Lady's Frustration. Dum, 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 dum. BBC used to play it every morning. It's a song I can never forget. Pa-pa-ra, pa-pa-pa-ra, you know? So everybody knew Fela was changing. And then his first Afrobeat hit was Jem Koku. And I think Fela now knew he had gotten the ingredients and he had gotten people's attention. Fela came, Fela was very poor. He couldn't even afford food for us, his kids. I mean, really, really poor. 14 year Agege Motoro, this was all before Kalakuta. And Fela, I mean, we come out, then there were music stores. Every music store was playing Jem Koku. Every music, you go anywhere, blasting Jem Koku. And I think Fela too was surprised at the reception he got. So every album, and then it was the 45. I don't know if you know those 45-inch, those small record that he used to record with. Every song was a massive hit. Fela was paid 45,000 naira for every track he released.
That was huge money back then.
It's like being paid 45 million now or something like that now. Then 45,000 naira. Per track, and every track was a massive hit. Even Zombie was such a hit. It's just that people didn't blast it like the other songs. So Fela would buy cars for his friends, or his friends were. Fela never invested in himself. So this is another fight that we had, or a misunderstanding that I couldn't understand. Everybody around you was stealing from you or taking from you, building their families, telling you, like they will take their families to the beach. But you say, no, you're an African. You say, African men don't do that. So we were suffering. Everybody was going to England or America on holidays. You say, no, we can't go anywhere. We African children, we are not going any. So we were deprived. But all our friends were doing all this. Our cousins were doing all this. So we as children, we couldn't understand that, which Pan-Africanism or Africanism is, you know, very strange, you know. But then Fela, truly, he bought his house in Gbemisola for 100 naira.
100?
100 naira, the land. Then.
Oh. 100 naira. 100 naira. The land and the house.
No, the land. They built, finally built it, but the land was bought for 100 naira. That means the whole of Toyin and Allen Avenue, Fela could have bought it. The kind of money Fela had then could have bought, he could have built the best studio in the world. He never invested in a studio. He never invested in nothing to bring money. So obviously, everybody around him, he was you have to understand that Fela's stardom in the 70s, very hard to comprehend. Fela just walked out. Everybody would just start following Fela on the road. Just see hundreds of people following Fela. Where he was going, they wouldn't know. They just start following him. His house, people would be coming, and his house was in the center of Lagos, kind of. You are coming from the island, you had to pass Fortinyagi. Coming from Ikeja, that was the only route leading anywhere. And he was so, people would come back from school. He had this fence. All the children were just looking. Fela would come playing with the donkeys or his dogs or all the girls or the boys. You know, Kalakuta was just one big open cinema, live cinema. Everybody would just stop by. I don't know if you see some pictures. You probably see pictures of those days where people are just looking over the fence at Fela. So that was Nigeria. I think even Fela was not ready for that kind of stardom. Nobody knew where to place it. Which is part, I think, of the corruption we are facing today. Everybody was now grab, grab, grab. Nobody in his entourage was, Fela, you have to invest. Fela, build a studio. Fela, do this. You know, Fela. It was just take, take, grab, grab, grab. When Fela's house was burnt, again, nobody said, Fela, you have that land you bought then for 100 naira. Go and build your house. What were they doing? Staying in hotels. Hotel. Till his cousin stole all his money in the bank. That's another story. Then he became dead broke. Went to Ghana. Got deported from Ghana. Stayed 150 people staying in his best friend's apartment, J.K. Brimer. Can you imagine 150 people staying in a two-bedroom apartment? And this complex was 6 buildings. Still, we drove all the people from the other
apartments
and we all moved into... Hey God, what a story. So, you see again, nobody in his entourage was, no positive mind, I would say. Around me, if you are not progressive, I quickly cut off from you. And I don't allow anybody into my home. Probably because of what we witness as children, that people just grab. And when you look at Nigeria today, it's that same negative, bad character of envy, selfishness, greed, that somehow, after colonialism, instead of us sitting back and saying, wow, we have come through a civil war, slavery, let's truly, leadership again failed in that respect, I think, with Nigeria. So everybody is, the political class is so guilty of this, you know, because if the head is not correct, the body cannot be correct. You cannot tell the head to be correct and you want your house health to be correct. Yeah? So leadership failed, basically Africa. And again, in Fela's household, this was very obvious. If everybody around him was just grabbing, taking. And then when he had none, when he was dead broke, all those that grabbed, not one came to his aid. Not one again. Fela had to build himself again. You know, so it's very, when you look at it, when we, his children, react in some manner, people fail to understand why we react or why we don't trust or why we are skeptical about some issues. Or somebody like me now, all my life, I think there's only probably one song that is not political. If we go back to, especially when we went into this democratic process in 1990, when you look at it, I was probably one of the only voices opposed to saying, what are they doing? These people, sorry, had just come out. And they tried to put that song down, saying, is this what you should be singing when we are entering change? And I was, this, but can't you see these people that they're as bad as the soldiers? And immediately they got into power. What did they do? House allowance. You saw the country was already, because the electrical problem was there. The bad roads were there. The healthcare was failing. Everything was failing. You, the politician, you got there. Okay, you fought for the democratic dispensation that they were making noise about. You got rid of the military. Oh yeah, do the correct things. Selfish, greed again. My salary. When I leave office, oh, you must still be paying me. Oh. Putting it, see the laws they were putting. Selfish, greed, nothing for the people. So, sorry, still one of the biggest songs today. Because this was done in 1998. It was one of the tracks opposing the governments at that time. And again, they tried to drown my voice. I got to a point in, if you even look at traveling with my musicians, them running away, you know. So what are we doing this for? Why are we doing this when even in your immediate vicinity, the people around you can't trust? The shrine? Hey, we are two bar men. They stole so much money, they built houses. It was a customer that said, this is your two bar men, they are criminals. Who? He said, no. Come, let me take you to the houses. He took us to the house. When we wanted to call police to arrest them, they ran to Dubai. We play free. The only income is the drinks. And they are stealing it. With all what the Pan-Africanism we are trying to do in the shrine, that, Femi is playing free, coming, our gate is till today is 2,000, but we started with like 300, 500. It's 2,000 now because things are quite difficult. But it's still the cheapest place to go and watch a live band of that magnitude. So you ask yourself, this is not government. But who is government? The people now. So anybody you put there will do the same. We will just say, even if that person says, I don't want to steal, his family say, you don't want to seek it. Our opportunity. You are not, your head is not correct. Your opportunity to make this family rich, you don't want to steal. They can even assassinate the person. And when you look at, see that guy, that Okada driver that became, Shebi, was it under labor? What do you expect? Because again, the mindset of the people is corrupt. Because leadership over the years has failed the people. So the educational system, everything shallow. And if we are not honest with ourselves, we'll just keep on going in circles till there will be no life in Nigeria again.
For a lot of us, especially folks who are younger, they don't remember a Nigeria that worked. And I know that maybe when you're coming up. No, I'm saying that so we don't have any context. Yeah. So what was it like for you coming up and you have a remembrance of a Nigeria that worked?
Example.
Yes.
Teaching hospital with the Araba. I used to pray to be sick because my mother was admitted once. Yeah. The place was so clean. You could smell the cleanliness from the gate. It was so clean. The lift was working. The stairs. I mean, clean your house. When you go there, you will be ashamed of your house, that your house is not clean. No matter how clean your house, when you reach the hospital, whoa.
Which hospital was this?
Teaching hospital in Diaraba. Okay. Lagos Teaching Hospital. Three floors like this. All the stairs cases. Every floor, every room. The operational theater. Then the food. Hey! Because my mother couldn't eat for the operation. When they just... lunchtime, right? You'll be smelling because they had chimneys. You'll be smelling the food all. I used to rush as a young boy that before somebody takes my mommy's food, let me quickly get to the hospital. The drugs were free. If you are sick, you are free. So now let's look at it politically. So Fela was fighting at this time. And they were saying, ah, he smokes Igbo, he likes women, he's talking rubbish. If all the doctors at that time fought to maintain that standard, do you know we have the best hospital? What did they do? They too, in their silent moments, did not believe in the system of Nigeria. So what did they do? They left. Those that didn't leave made sure their children didn't stay. So, UNILAG was the university to go to now. Ibadan, Medic, these were the universities. We had the best educational system. No doubt, because Europe wanted our brains. They still want our brains. We still have, somehow, when the Nigerian puts his mind somewhere, nobody beats us there now, till today now. So, but it's, we are still, we are probably at the dregs. Just, we are just at the periphery of total collapse and anarchy. But we, when you, there was football, Principal Cup. We didn't care about Manchester. We didn't care about Arsenal. We cared about our second. So Finbars and St. Gregory's are playing. You now see Love Stadium. Everybody. Then they had interstates. So whoever wins the Principal Cup in Lagos will now go to interstate of meeting Port Harcourt or Anambra or blah, blah. We cared about ICC or stationery stores or Bendel. I used to go to the stadium to watch it. I was telling my son the other day, really, because just opposite my house were some mechanics, Yorubas, and the hated Rangers. Very, I don't know if I would say tribalistic, but they had nothing good to say about Rangers. So, of course, I said to support ICC. But Rangers were the only club that used to go to watch Fela Sunday jump. When I think about it, ICC didn't go because they were more pro-government. But Rangers was not pro-government. So, Okolawo, Christian Chukwu, when they beat ICC or they play like this in Lagos, the first place they are going to is Fela's club. So when I come back from, she said, ah, Rangers were here. So again, my orientation said to change loving more Rangers than ICC because Rangers was more pro-Fela. But when Rangers will meet somebody like Afia, they lacked the ideology politically to win a match. So Fela was like, Rangers should look, Pan-African is in your approach. So again, Fela was preaching to footballers, to sports, that look at what Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, see, he changed. You are behind green eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle that is green? It was because of Fela they changed it to super eagles. Because Fela used to abuse them, green eagles. Look how they be calling it green eagles. Fela will say green eagles. See what they call black stars of Ghana. And black stars will beat hell out. They will come to Lagos, give you 4-2. You know, it was the embarrass Nigeria. They would dribble. Fela would say, that's Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's team. You are calling yourself green eagles. You can't win, you know. Stupid. You know, Fela was, when you, but all that too was with beauty. Because you could ride your bike. You could go to the bus. For students, it was free for the money. The buses. Soldiers, students, free.
And safe.
Safe. We, in 70, just before the Civil War, when it even ended, 68, 69, the highest fence was the size of this couch. You come to anybody's compound and sit on the, and you could go pluck fruits from, when you're coming from school, you pluck anybody's fruit. They will not even tell you, stop taking my fruit. Because if you don't give the fruit, you will waste, Abby. So the more people that take the fruit, the better for you and your compound and everything. So it was free. Then suddenly, I think the first robber was Oyenusi or Samson. I can't remember. That was the first robber we kind of heard that was, I'm robber. Hey, everybody said to be afraid. But then they executed them, you know, then the coup started to happen. But then slowly, Nigeria just started to get worse. There was Big Dip Ice Cream. There was UTC, Leventis, Kingsway. These were shops fully air-conditioned that you just, everybody could go there. It was beautiful. Babbage. it was miles to get to the sea. When you get to Federal Palace, when you park your car, you had to stop at least once before you get out of tiredness because the sea was so far out. So you stop, well, yeah, let's rest too. Ah, the sea. So we children dreaded, we wanted to go to the beach, but that walk to the beach, no. Palm trees everywhere. It was incredible how things just got so, it's like juju. I just said, things just was. You know, so people like us that were young, I can't even imagine what it was like for a fella that was really agitating at that time. Now we have to understand that Obasanjo and all these people were fellas' mates. So he didn't give a damn about them. You know, which brings me again, at my age, I'm older than many of the governors. So if you talk, you know, if you insult me, you know, I can forget your office, you know, just do the right thing. So, fella coming from a very prestigious home, you are a soldier. Because you are a soldier. So what if you are a soldier? So why couldn't the elite see what fella was saying? Why did they betray the nation themselves? Why did the lawyers betray the nation at that time? So we can keep on saying yes, but what if all those elite and brains did not, if they were patriotic, would not be here. If they stood their grounds and fought for the law, if they stood their grounds and fought for the academic, truly they did. But they too did not. They were suffering from colonialism because they too didn't believe in a way. They didn't believe in the system. Okay, many of them even went to England, came back, brought their brains, but they didn't believe that their children should study here. So a fella that deprived his children from getting a good education or traveling, even for holiday, being national, patriotic and pan-Africanism, all of them were doing it. Even my cousins were doing it. What if all of them just said, Nigeria is our home. Africa is our home. But they didn't. Till today, their children are Canadians, Americans. Till today, they don't believe in it. Today, before you find a Nigerian that is truly patriotic, that I believe in it, we are very few. So what do we do as fellas children? When we had money, we build the shrine. We are still maintaining the shrine. No matter what happens, I'm British. I'm not telling you to boast. I'm just telling you that I could run away, you know. It's even convenient, so I don't have to go and queue to get a visa. So convenience, but I still have to believe there is light at the end of the tunnel because that is the way we were brought up. Despite all the things going wrong around us, we have to still believe. How many great people's children can you say that about their children? So we have to ask questions of all the politicians. Where are their children from fellas' time? The forefathers, where are their children? Aren't they the ones supposed to be pushing Nigeria in that direction of Kwame Nkrumahism? You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. All the writers, where are they? Even after the Civil War, when Nigeria even started to say, okay, we are equal. What happened to that dream again? I remember when they even were fighting for that increase. Oil, when we found oil. Do you know that you could change your naira in any bank in the world?
At that time.
In England, in Amsterdam. And I'm living proof because when fella, they tried to plant India and Pionfella, and we go to Amsterdam, we had to change our naira to pay for the hotel bill. So fella took my, because me, I'm a big saver. Hey, I don't spend. And maybe because of what I saw in fella's life. If you give me 1,000 naira, if you come back 10 years, you will find 998. So you ask me, did you eat? I would say, I was eating. How did you eat? I'll maybe eat a groundnut. I'm so afraid to spend money. So afraid. Because we got so poor. I mean, fella got so poor. It was frightening at this time. So the naira was that strong. What happened again? The elite. Maybe the soldiers were there. They were, but who are those civilians backing that corruption? That the corruption got so bad that we are where we are today. When you look at the political, how we even went that in 1999, Obasanjo is the best person to rule this country. And he won unanimously. How we got there? Again, my songs, if you go back to my songs, I was probably the only voice musically at that time. But again, the radios didn't play my music. They didn't. So we were stuck in the shrine. We were having constant raids at the shrine. So everybody will say, because they have killed, no, they have tried to kill my story. And me too. I got to a point where I was, maybe we are here together. I got to a point like, the difference between me and you is I will always be here. You, if you have the opportunity, you will run away.
Good.
So that is the difference between we Fela's children and many other children. So when they are criticizing us or they are saying all their garbage against us, if you give any of them the opportunity or they will be outside criticizing, we will be here facing what we defending our thoughts or actions here. So we have been through the storm. We have seen. I'm 63, so my family comes first for me. And I know that if anything happens to the shrine, what will Nigerians do? Hashtag open the shrine. Hashtag free Femi. You know, and you rot there because we saw a jury for the last time. We have seen it all our lives. Again, we'll never come out to fight for truth or whatever. Nigerians, I don't even know if it's called, if it's because we are cowards. I think it's just everybody is so self-centered that, Yusef, why you talk too much now? You don't know as Nigeria be. That's the kind of question Nigeria will ask you. If you say, I've been in cell with Fela many times, and when you hear what people are saying, Yusef, you look at Fela that, is it really worth it? What we are going through, and what you are going through. I remember when he took his mother's coffin, 57 of us, they beat hell out of us that day. You know?
To the barracks.
Yeah, to give Obasanjo before he left in 79. He took his mother's coffin there. Say he mustn't, he must take. He sang a song, Coffin for Head of State. And, you know, question is, Isef knew that they will beat him. Why did he go there? You know, but we support him. But nobody will come out to defend him with their lives as well. He said in 77, when the soldiers were about to burn his house, he really believed Nigerians. He thought that there was a revolution. Because you see that bridge that goes across Domalon. I don't know if you know, that bridge from, what was it? Ojo Elegba. That goes to Fade.
Okay.
You know that bridge? Mm. They were just starting to build that bridge then.
Mm.
So it wasn't open. So people were standing there. People, you know, thousands of people in their houses. Everybody just watching these thousand soldiers and little Fela. So Fela took a megaphone because Fela really thought, yes, I've got them where I want them. You are idiots. You are. There's no word Fela didn't tell the soldiers that day. He abused them. Go, you know. So Fela was, you know, Fela was being Fela that day. Was being Fela. When they turned off the generator and burned the generator, and they took axe and broke the fence like this, and they captured the first person. Nigiti was the first person they caught. The beating they gave her. And everybody was still looking. Fela was broken. The guy standing next to Fela, Eko Oduro, said, Fela, they are going to kill you today. Everybody thought they were going to kill Fela that day. That day was so silent after 79. How old was I? I think I was 92, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I was 15, about 15. I remember that everywhere was so dark. You know, you could hear a pin drop. My mother just said, going, because we went to look. My mother said, they've killed him. She said, cry, they've killed him. They've killed him. And we wanted to look. Put your head down before they see you. You know, she was still protecting us that they will know we are his children. And then they will do the same thing they did to Lumumba, to us. Again, when you are going through, when you have seen all that, you have to sit back at a point and say, wow. You two are confused that your surrounding, your friends have betrayed you, your band members have betrayed you. You start to ask, what are you even doing, you know? So from my album, there's a song called Walk On Myself. I really just like I would tell Made, you know, I've got to a point, I really don't know. But there's one thing I know. I can change myself. I can make myself a better person, a better father. That one, I know nobody can intercept, interrupt, or criticize. But it was something I always did, but not as vigorous as I am doing now. So I work probably harder than I would. I don't know if you saw a video. I came back from this tour and I just still picked up my sax. And Maddie said, Daddy, 1 month, rest now. I said, I can't. You know, I've got to a point where I'm even scared to rest. I don't want to lose the momentum. I don't want to lose what I've achieved musically, that I can't even take a holiday. I'm so scared. But I think, again, if I'm a psychiatrist or psychologist, I'll say, it's your life, you know. Because you have been up, you have been down, up so many times and down, that where you are, you just don't want to lose anything anymore.
I want to even go deeper into this.
I don't want to do this interview because I don't like talking anymore. And Made was like, because people are saying, nobody will know, can you call it? But I have an Instagram page. I have a Facebook page. I post everything. As influencers, this is not your duty to see. I'm not talking to you.
No, I know. I know what you mean.
So why should I talk? And even in those days, when I talk, there's a story. I won't mention the person. A famous magazine. You see, I'm talking. I speak quite good English. So they did an interview with me. Then they did an interview with somebody that they said was better than me. This magazine. And they put my story here and the person's story here. If you see the English,
you were speaking.
I was speaking. All of us, my sisters, my mother, say, do you know Tabon?
Tabon, Tabon.
I was all blowing English. Say, I didn't come to Munya. Me. Then the guy, other guy, fluent. So we were like, this is nasty now. You know, I was broken that. See, I've not shelled words, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very careful with my choice of words. And even if I don't know the big English, I will find a simpler English. I talk. My mother was very, very British. I did badly in school, but I mean English. I can speak English, go, and I can speak a bit of it. So, but this article, you know, now I look. My sister, you know, my family, my maternal, we are very tight, very tight. And because of what we went to say, the journalist that did it, I don't want to mention anybody because I've let many things go by, you know. When my mother died, this journalist came. Please, how do you feel? I said, how do you expect me to feel? My mother just died. Unfortunately, I had a gig that I'd taken from Okoya. I think it was Okoya. It was 60 or something. And I didn't want to do the show, but my mother, I was broke. So my mother said, take it now. I said, I don't want to play for, because I know the people that will be at that party. I don't want to play for them. So I took the money and she died on that day. To return the money now, I've spent half. Hey. So I was hoping that if I get to the party and I tell them that my mother died, they say, okay, let your band play. They didn't agree. Oh. They made me play. You know that kind of, I was there but not there.
Anguish.
I was just, when the paper I wanted to write said, we go to Femi's house, no sign of mommy. Punch newspaper. Front page, I can never forget. Again, they wrote that they saw me in Ojo Elegba, stark naked, walking with a big joint. Then my friends came. What is this we are saying? What are they? So I used to stay in the shed in a like boys' quarters. I put my mother in the bungalow, in the duplex, and I was in a one bedroom with my wife and son. So they came, bang, bang in the gate. All of them, about five of them. Say, what's going on? Have I seen the papers today? I said, what? Say, see, you are in Ojo Elegba, stark naked. Can you go boy later and read? What is all this we are seeing? I said, hey. Are you mad? Money, hey. You know, the person that is mad now is you people that are shouting because the person you came to see, I'm dressed, I've had my bath, cleaned my teeth, I'm practicing. Or what? Did you hear my sax when you came in? Yes. So, and you are shouting, hey, come. Are you not my friends? Somebody wrote this. You know all my life that the press have been against me. You see something like this again. You are coming to fight me. You didn't go to the journalist, so you didn't go to the paper. You came to fight. I wasn't writing that about you. Do I have the power to tell them not to write it? Okay. If I want to even smoke igbo, I've built the shrine because I've been inside. I left my bathroom. I left my apartment. And I went to Ojo Elegba to smoke. Then I removed all my clothes. And they didn't catch me and take me to the Yaro. Money, you. Oh, you are not friends. Mm. You are not friends. Mm. So again, I cut off a lot of them. Because they are not friends. When you look at it practically, they are not friends, right? And I can give you so many instances like this. Mm. So many in my life that you just get to a point and just say, let me give you one. This tour. Mm-hmm. No, before this tour, this guy, the bassist, Andrew, he hadn't traveled for like 13 years. So I come and tell him, you see, he plays guitar. I said, this guitar, the only way you can travel is to learn bass because we don't have a bassist. So learn the bass so you can travel. So he learns the bass. We take him on tour. When he gets to Europe, he starts to plan a plot to run. He will never come on the bus on time. Yeah, yeah. Now, before anybody starts talking rubbish, I think my band is probably the best paid in this country. You know, and there is proof of it. So anybody, I won't tell you what they get, but everybody knows my band is well paid. Many of them have built houses, they have bought cars, blah, blah, blah. I try to play as best as I can. So, Nick, he gets to America. 20 minutes, 5,000 people waiting for us in New York. This guy runs away. He runs away. So I post it. What did Nigeria start to do? Is it not critical? Well, Nigeria is bad. I say, what kind of mindset is this? These ones that ran away now, if I talk, they will say, I'm supporting Tinubu. Ah! I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
They said, I support Buhari. Ah! I'm ashamed. Me, support Buhari, that jailed my father. Oshibajo came to my house. Very respectable man. He first sent messages that he wants to see me. I said, you see this politics, if he has followed me, I don't want to be involved. Since you people voted for Obasanjo, I'm not participating in this because my vision of Nigeria, my thoughts, you have the press and everybody keeps drowning me that Femi is, he can never be his father. Da, da, da. I don't want to have anything to do with all of you. You know, leave me. Let me be playing my music. Those are we listen. So I just said, man, when. It was at my door. I said, I'm not opening my gates. My sister said, please open. You know, we are respectful, open. So he comes in, he sits down, starts trying to convince me to support Buhari. I said, you know, what you are saying is reasonable. And but you see, that man, he jailed my father. There is no way, even if he's the best person for this country, hey, let him go and be the best person. You know, let him get there and do the thing, you know. Again, I'm not one that wants any government to fail. If a government fails, we're all going to suffer.
Yeah.
But I will criticize when I see you are not doing what I think is what you should be doing. But that you should fail. If we fail or we go to war, who will suffer? First of all of them will enter their private jets and get out of this country. It is us that will be rushing through the border or airport scrambling. Then we get a win now. So I can't wish anybody to fail. So I don't wish him to fail, but that I will support you, sir. When it was when my the fight was or the argument was getting and he wasn't listening, my sister said, "Oh, would you like a cup of coffee?" And that's how the matter died. Yeah. We took pictures. Ah, somebody, Buhari. If you show me anywhere I've campaigned for anybody, anywhere, I will take my life right now. Ojota, what happened in Ojota? Let me tell you about Ojota. A NLC and a group, NGO came, said, the suffering was bad. Now we have to remember, Obasanjo's tenure was full scarcity, so much. I sang a song, Shoton. When you go back to my back catalog, you can really trace what was going on in Nigeria at every point in time. 2004, metal scarcity. So my songs were very much against Obasanjo. So if you say I don't call names, you are the coward, not me. I've called Abacha during his time, but calling the name, did Nigeria change? And when my father called the name, my father, they call person name. So after that, uncle, you are not progressive. You are not progressive. He called the name. Is Nigeria better? I've called the name. With all what we have done, is Nigeria better? So you are sitting in your house comparing Femi and Fela, bringing Femi down, giving him for whatever reason, but he's still touring. People still respect him as a musician. You don't even see. Does he have talent? You don't care. You just take Femi and just lambast him. Is that a nation? No. Is that a country? So people know me in America or France better than my people, because the people that are supposed to let them know me, don't let them know me. And when they want them to know me, they bring me out in negative light. They will now say, Femi hates Fela. They will distort whatever I've said. So we get your daughter. Jonathan just increased this. Me, I'm against Jonathan because I've been against all of them in politics. APC, PDP, all of them. Because when you had the opportunity, you entered there. You are all fighting for your selfish interest. Repair the refineries. Imagine Obasanjo had repaired the refineries. We will not be here. Imagine Yar'Adua repaired the refineries. We will not be here. If Jonathan go and repair the refineries, we will not be here. Then they kept increasing the petrol. The Naira is dropping. Blah, blah, blah. They are all doing the wrong things. They are not patriotic. They are not Pan-African. They are nothing. The government is not progressive. When you ask them, what did Obasanjo do? They say he brought mobile phone. Can you see how little they belittle our minds? Somebody will do one small amusement park and everybody will be happy. Have you seen the amusement parks in America? You are coming from there.
Yeah.
Is it that we lack land? What do we lack? You know, I feel like crying because it's so insultive to the integrity of us as a people, how these people manipulate and distort things. So I get your daughter. Because I'm against that, you are increasing petrol, but you people are not doing the right thing. So I even gave a brief history. Look, I've been here since 12. My father is saying the same thing, blah, blah, blah. What do? They take that clip and start to say I was part of tumbling, bringing Jonathan down. Me, do I look like a coup plotter? Bring Jonathan down. When Jonathan named UNILAG, I think it was Abiola University. We were laughing because the day he named it, my sister and I would say, Nigerians were abusing. They abused him. Jonathan was trying to win
favor.
Nobody wanted to hear him. Is this me that didn't want to hear him? You are your own president and you are doing like this. If your feet can't stand on the ground, is it my fault? But that I don't like Jonathan or want him to not succeed, like I told you again, I'm doing myself. So I went there, say, do the right thing for the people. Repair refineries. Face education. Face health. You people are in power. You don't have any excuse. You don't have any excuse whatsoever to not do what is right. If you do what is right, the people, there's no opposition. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no opposition. If You see, my dad, who will die there? Because of my life, when they are comparing me, who will die there? So when they say Kenny G has a world record, see, like, I will have to die trying. I would rather die trying. They know that I die trying than not try, or people will be laughing at me. Till I broke the record. It took me a long time, but I broke the record. And I rest now. You say this, I will walk myself to death. So that's how I see politics. When you are there, there's no opposition that, because I will do all the right things. What do you want to talk when I've given health? When I've given schools? When the roads are working? Because when I go to Europe and America, as a leader, I'll be saying, what? What? If you don't want the same for your people, first of all, you have failed. Mm. You as a leader that you leave this country and go and take health care outside. First, they should just first remove you from your seats. They should have already, somebody called me, says, DNA, where are you? So I called my sister, I say, my sister, because we talk a lot. See what this girl is asking me. That I should, do I support they should put a law that everybody should do DNA? What's my business? You know, if you like do DNA, don't do DNA. You are two grown-ups. Because there are some people that know that the children are not their own, but they love themselves. Abby, the girl made a mistake, but they love themselves. I should come and tell them a lawsuit. Okay, even if they did a law and they find out that the baby is not their baby and they still want to be with themselves, will you not do a law that they must divorce by force? So don't ask me stupid questions. If you're asking me about a law, then the law should be no government official must leave this country for healthcare. Mm. That is a law. All their children must not go to private schools here, but federal government schools. Then they are by force, they will make sure those schools work, like UNILAG used to work, or any federal government school work. Because even us as children, growing up, the government schools hated us in private schools. So there was already discrepancy and hatred and envy already in the early 70s. If you are in a private primary school, they didn't like you. If you were in any Baptist Academy, all those Lascar and all those other schools, they didn't like us. You must fight at Yaba. Because they felt you are better homes, better, you are the privileged children. So they didn't. Government immediately must automatically end that. They can't say they don't know it. So uplift the poor children. Then you get brains. How? I trained a boy, Mohammed. His mother used to sell kenke. And I said to look after him. Don't let me lose where I was going to, please. Because so many things I want to tell you. Mm. So I was going. He said to do better than Maddie in school. The guy was getting maths, physics, you know. This guy, brilliant. A Nigerian parent will say, I brought you up the street. Are you doing better? No, I can't. All my money. What do I do? I encourage him more. Made, you better buck up. Made was more music. He wants music. And nothing for music. Come, I know you want to do music, but you cannot fail. So he didn't fail. It was like average, you know. He now started to buckle up. But was I not happy for Mohammed or another guy, Kwame? Took him all the way to university. Now he's married, two children. Do you know, he's so grateful that if I call him at 2 a.m., no matter what he's doing, he will answer me. If we did this to the poor children, that's where we'll find the brains of surgeons, engineers, so much lost talent in the streets. Government doesn't know that. Mm. This is our own anger as a family. Come and be telling me. One day I did an interview. I said all of them are jumping from Labour to Kinnicko to PDP. And they now started. He's afraid to call APC. We are so childish.
Yeah.
Look, excuse me, this man, I'm afraid of who? I have a song against Tinubu. Mm. Yes, back to that Ojota. So I sang a song, Where Our Money. Mm. Says, this is the common practice of our leaders to chop our money and go. These leaders should be called stealers. see, I've got so much on my mind. So, but if you go, song. So I say, if you see Obasanjo, ask him, where is our money? So I name all of them in the song. And I say, if you see Tinubu too, ask him, at that rally, why don't they show that in the clip? But because they have their negative political bastardized agenda to bring me in the bad light, to spoil me, they take one to say that I want to topple Jonathan, I'm supporting Tinubu. But at that rally, I sang against Tinubu. Show it now. Show me where I've ever come out to support anybody. Even Showore came to Shrine once. And they quickly said, I'm supporting Showore. I said, I did support Showore. I said, I don't even remember what I said. So, but I said, then it's camp now. Said abusing me. I just looked at them. They have to be very stupid. Should be to endorse somebody who say, they said they don't need my endorsement. So why are you saying, why did you lie I endorsed? But Showore is my friend. I will talk to him anytime. I will even talk to anybody. Obi, I didn't go and meet Obi. Obi came to my house. Because when they all said to abuse me, what even happened there again? I said, I am so angry that you see that movement, I'll have found a revolutionary name. But you see, obedient to me sounds, you are obedient. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. No, do you understand what I'm saying? They quickly twisted it. I called them zombie or whatever. I said, hey, they say abusing me. Ah, they abuse me. I'm kind of used to it. Mm. So Obi came to the house. You know, if I was political, I was, you know, I would have just said, you know, I could have used it politically. He talked to me. I can't tell you all what we discussed. Like, I can't tell you everything Oshibaju and I discussed. But I don't go to anybody. When they come to me, I'm very respectful. Because where I think Nigeria should be and Africa is really sad that we're not there. And there's no reason we should not be there. It's so sad that you say you were in San Francisco. You see the roads in America. Sometimes six lanes. What do they have that we don't have?
Nothing.
Nothing. What does Europe have that we don't have?
Nothing.
That you see, just to make a road in Nigeria, the politicians will stress our life. I stay in Alagbule. It took the government 15 years to do the road. You know that they want us to say thank you. Mm. Me, if you start to do anything right in this country, what you should be telling people like me is sorry for wasting your life. At 63, I'm quarter to die. How many more years do I have? My whole life has been miserable. So if you do anything, it's the people that are yet unborn that will be telling you thank you for doing your job. And even telling you thank you for doing your job, the way I see it, I'm a musician. If I get on that stage, either I don't want to be a musician or I be a musician. So if I don't give a good account of myself, get the hell off the stage. And if the crowd love you and clap for you, again, you are gracious. You are humble. You say thank you. So professionally, say thank you to a politician for doing his job or your money. Is it not taxpayers' money?
Yeah.
No. Is it your money that you are using? No. What is wrong with everybody? So again, I ask you, this guy sitting here, does he sound insane or incoherent? Mm-hmm. I'm even remembering with so many stories, I will still go back and remind myself of what I was discussing. This is the way I talk with Made or my sister or Sheung or anybody, you know, or my closest friends. But if I don't talk like this, it's because every time I talk like this, they will now take
twist it
and use it for their political, this thing. Nah, 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 nah. Do I want to relate with those kind of people? I'm disgusted that if you can do that, you are evil. You are not, I can't give you the light of day. Mm. So these three guys went on tour. Cost me 40 million for tickets, visas, flight, internal flight tickets, the bus, 100,000. Investment, borrowing money to make this tour happen because Europe and America stopped taking bands like us because Africans were running away or they will not turn up. So for about 18, 15 years now, I've had to produce my tour. So I cannot even go on holiday because I have to save to always pay flights. And as you know, every year the flight goes up. So even if I make small profit, I must put it back there because we started, I remember when the flights went to 10,000 naira per ticket. We were like, yeah, positive us, we'll never travel low, we'll sit down. So this is when Fela came into the picture. I will not go and borrow money from my sister's friends or, and Fela will be afraid that he will not pay it back. Just imagine paying 1,500,000, no, what? 10 times 50, should I do the math?
150.
So, you know, that was a lot of money. 10,000 for tickets. Hey! Now it is nearly $2,000 for 40,000 million naira. I can't even make a profit and have a good time. Like I'm back here. I should go on. So my sister and Maddie are saying, oh, we want to give you a massage, you know? And I'm like, hey, leave me alone. You know, like, so scared, you know? And they are like, because of all. So these guys, now, after the night show, Washington, just jump off the bus. I can't tell the public, or I even decided, because I know what they will say. You supported, Shebi, you are abusing labor. You supported APC. Not United Kingdom. You supported Buhari. Not you abused Jonathan. That's what, you know, they will say with their childishness again. And I will look at them and say, well, really, truly, between you and me and God, I think if God looks at all of us, you are really spoiled brats, childish. You lack common sense and integrity. That if me, I'm not government, use my money, my music. Somebody said on, say, musicians who get their royalties. You get royalties when you contribute to the music. The composer, I write every single thing in my music. I've done that all my life. Every single thing I do. Every single thing, as does Madi, as did Fela. What am I paying royalty for? The baritone, the trombonist that ran away, Tunde Akran, he has never played on any album. I put his name and I still pay him. Michael, he played on this, he was supposed to play on this last album, Journey Through Life. He couldn't play in the studio. I put his name as a player and I paid him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just to, then I would be like, Michael, you have to practice. The competition out there is too much. Tunde, look at, even girls are playing the trombone. Letting them know that, come, I don't even need you. It would be easier for me and I would sleep at night. You know what, if I just imagine putting some female instrumentalists, first of all, you have won all the women that, Femi's giving, Femi's band is not only about men and girls, which I want to do. But because these male people are with me and have been with me for 20 years or so, I can't get rid of them because I'm loyal and blah, blah, but they keep stabbing me in the back, you know? And I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? You know? Then the audience, the people say, why Nigeria? What do you expect? Should they not run away? Look at it again from here. Every single one of them, there are somebody that have, some of them have 10 passports from traveling extensively around the world. There's nowhere this band has not been in 4 decades. Nowhere. Australia, China, Japan, towns, cities. You make money. Money, but you are quite comfortable. If you come back and buy Rolex watch, is that my business? Me, I don't, you see, I don't buy anything. I take care of my children. I have responsibilities. I must pay school fees. Every, you see, when September is coming, like, I'm actually having big, have enough money. I have 7 children and I want to give them the best education a father can give them. Mm-hmm. Right? One of the musicians, one day, he will come from tour. He will go and rent a hotel, put 3 girls in 3 different rooms. Then he will get broke. Then he will now come and tell me he's poor. Is that my fault? Mm-hmm. One has children. When he's on tour, he will start buying gold. But he has, we finished the tour in November, December, winter tour. By January, he's supposed to pay school fees for his children. He's broke. But he has gold. It's not, if you want to live a flamboyant life and forget your rest, that's not my business. I cannot give you your salary. then now tell you how you, I can advise you, which I will do. Come, oh, Nigeria is hard, oh. Save your money. Think, look, take care of your family first. You know, even your friends lie that I've not paid you salary. You can lie on my head just to protect you, you. But keep your money for God's sake. Because if you don't keep your money, you're going to come back and bring your problem. And I have my own problem.
But speaking on that, because you keep referencing that there was points that fella was broke, right?
Sorry, it was?
There was points that fella was broke.
Yes.
So how do you maintain, like, how do you, what lessons have you learned as far as the business of it and to keep the money?
First, invest in the shrine. But it looks like a big failure in a way because we can't make money. By the time the government keeps taxing us, everything, Let's take, for instance, those people selling drugs on the streets. They blame us. How can we support drugs? None of us even smoke. I mean, my own immediate family, or take drugs. Maddie doesn't smoke. None of my children, they don't even drink. Then I will support you to do it. Why? When we tell those people to stop, they tell us we're on federal government, they are on federal government road, that we should mind our business. What can we say? We have to mind our business, Abby. But when people are passing, anything bad there, they say shrine. We have even put big signs, no drugs allowed in the shrine. There was a time I used to flog people out of the shrine that stop giving us a bad name. Stop it. Can you go and smoke in ShopRite? Can you smoke in Mega Chicken? Why do you? And you know the worst thing? Many of them do it, but then they deny coming to the shrine. They deny in their homes that they do this. But when they come to shrine, you see, they will take off their shirt. Foo, 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 foo. Is this what I want? I want the best club in the world. Iconic. It's a place, when we built it, it's a place where we pay homage to great people. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Bob Marley, Muhammad Ali, Miss Fumlayo. We had their pictures. You know what they did? They tore the pictures down. We had to renew it. They break the chairs. We have to buy. I used to put Ludo, draft, chess on it. They will steal everything. There's nothing with it. Myself now, I've gone broke. I can't even take my personal money to keep on investing. So it's like, are they sent to destroy the place and give this place a bad name? Mm. Again, is it the government or just Nigerians? You see? And then when we don't consent to this lousy behavior, you can never be like your father. Hey, you are bad children. So what do we do? I built a studio during COVID when I thought the world would never travel again. So Madde is very thankful. Now I am too old to use the studio. Madde is there all his life. But it's so beautiful to see. It's so beautiful to see. I can't even use computer like that. Madde is well trained. 7 years, he plays all the instruments, composes. Madde is beautiful. You know, I was listening to his music coming here. And I can only be grateful, you know. And I'm not even sad about my life. What if I went, but no, Misha, that's not true. But what if I did go to school and people didn't like my music? What if? Maybe I had to go through this route. Maybe the creator knew why I had to do this. I'm very spiritual, so I don't think coincidence, per se. I think some things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. When those musicians ran, I said crying. Because 9 shows, we have how many more to go? Where do I start from? How am I going to teach a band in 4 hours? Los Angeles is coming. Berkeley is coming. And I said, where do I start? How do I pay this money back?
And they never came back.
I just broke down. I said, cry. Nobody knew. So one person said they saw me crying. I even got on stage and I was crying. One of the musicians said they saw me crying because I was trying to be brave. I can't understand such wickedness. Some people will say they should have finished the show. Money won't finish the show before they run. Like I was going, I remember what I was saying, you have enough credibility to go to any embassy to tell them when you get back, I want to travel. There is no embassy that will refuse any of you.
Yeah.
We know that as Positive Force members. One of the trumpeters who left, I got him Canadian visa 5 years. He now lied, took his family, ran to Canada. He has 5 years Schengen. I got it for him. Because years of the embassies know
consistently.
Femi Kuti will never indulge in such. I mean, most of them have been with me 20 years, 15, blah, blah, blah. So when I apply, maybe one person will run, but it is this man is consistent. He will never do fraud, blah, blah, blah. So if they leave, if they come back, they just have to apply. They will give them. Then you can run. Do you understand? Your salary that you make easily can buy you a ticket and get you a visa. One of them wrote to my wife, my partner, that it is somebody in the man that was stressing him. But he loves me. But that person stressed him so much he had to resign. I said, why are you listening to this idiot? He loves me. He ran at New York. 300 players, Tunde Akran. We had 300 players. He ran an hour, 30 minutes before the show. So we had to play with two horns. In New York, I now swore to myself, I will not even talk about it. We'll play. The next show, I will complain to the audience. But I will not give them
the satisfaction
that I'm even good. Because I think when I talk about them, they enjoy. The basis, Dami Olubumi. You know, they have no reason. They are well paid. I even told them, I said, every time I want to even increase your salary, they increase the flight tickets. Every time I want to increase your salary, they increase visa. We play in some places where to even get a band like my band to fill a hall of 2,000, no shame. After all these years, many of my fans have probably died or they are too old. You know, to win the next audience without PR, it's hard. Especially when nobody is talking good about you or you are not doing TikTok or they want me to be doing. When I got here, these two guys called. I said, what? What was it anybody concerned? I see my English was you. What is your concern with what I'm wearing? You know? I said, TikTok's article. I said, okay. This generation, they will kill me. I said, okay. Who chose it for you? My partner chose it for me. Because me, I can't choose anything like a big baby. So, you see, nobody has any excuse. My bad. If they talk rubbish, I will be forced to reveal more than I've told you. I will respect those that are still in my band. But no band member can tell me they're underpaid. So, you see, those ones I even ran. I say, you know what? Next year, every junior, because my band is more, operates more on longevity. The longer you are with me, and I have to respect somebody that has been with me for 23 years. If you just come, you can't take the same salary as him. No way. You understand? It's a band. Now, if I have to use other people, like session men, that's different. Because one of, okay, can pay you more, but I will probably never see you again in my life. But if somebody is dedicated, part of what I'm doing, I have to respect that. So this is how I operate. So I say, you see what? No matter what happens next year, we are going to have a meeting on how to bring the younger people at least to a very reasonable. So please bear with me till the end of this year. So we had even had that. So they don't even have they don't have an excuse. Because I say, someone will say, the guy of 23 years, his salary is too much, but he has been with me for 23 years. You have been with me for what? 2 years. You want? Then he didn't appreciate that he didn't record, but I paid him. You see, they don't even appreciate those little gestures that go their way. Then when we get gigs in Nigeria, there is no band in Nigeria that can say, Positive Force is underpaid. We are the envy. We are the blueprint. Let me use your word. Blueprint of how a band should be governed. Everybody knows that. You know, I can beat my chest with my two hands proudly.
But what do you think is killing the Nigerian music industry now?
Again, when the head is not correct, nothing can be correct. The same thing that is killing health. You know, when young people are doing what they're doing, I like what they're doing. But what will they do when they are 50? The reason probably I'm respected is I will still show dexterity, energy. I'm committed. And if I pick up my sax, you will know that this guy is working. I have something. I compose everything. You buy your songs. And you don't want to learn. I said, music is like medicine. So when you have Miles Davis or Stevie Wonder or all these people, because they are working, they are practicing. You just go, do ching, 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 get a hit song. Okay, might make two or three. You are young, so you are not seeing the danger. Because the next generation will have their star. And then you will fade away. So when I say, I can proudly tell you I'm still touring, it's because my fans will still introduce me to their children and their children's children. So you will see very old, and you see children at my concerts because there are people that have followed me for 15 years, 20 years. And they are very proud, bringing all my albums to sign. But why? Consistency. And I have something to offer. If you are not writing your music and you are buying and you are jumping, will you still be doing that at 40? Because your fan base that is growing up with you, many of them, will die. They will get too busy. They will get. You can't be a teenager all your life. So this is the fear I have concerning entertainment. So if government does not do it right, we should have the best musical university. These are the subjects I even talked with Mr. Oshibajo when he came. We should have the best musical. Since we know that this is our way, we have put it in place for the children. We must force them that you must learn it properly. Made, you want to play music. You will not do Jekure this year. No, really. Don't suffer what I went through. Because I'm in pain. And my fight with Fela. Imagine going to a place and you see an orchestra of 15-year-olds, 13. They all read. And then I mean, they are 30-something. I can't read. And I'm just looking at them like a foolish man. Because I'm a man. A full-grown man. You're 30. Very embarrassing. The only thing I could now do was keep on working harder. That when you hear my tone, you can say, you can distinguish as Femi Kuti's saxophone. Mm. When I do, you know that this man has worked to get a riff. I have worked hours. I will play some riff like this. You will say, what? Did you go to school? No, self-taught. Self-taught. Just by listening to other people say, this is what your country did. I have to do it better. This is what they're a musician, but it doesn't have to be that complicated because if you learn, then that process is easier. You can have your ruggedness with that or your self-character that God or your blessing God has given you, but you need that educative process as well. So if we don't school our children, it's like what you, we, I don't have to tell you, many pharmacies give injection now. Can pharmacists give you injection in America without prescription? But a pharmacist, one guy, and it's a true story, he cut his leg with a nail. I told him to go and get gangrene. He said, go to the hospital right now. 2 days later, I said, I don't go see a doctor. Which doctor? He said, pharmacy, don't give me injection money. See, when gangrene enter your leg, then go cut your toe, then they go cut your ankle. Then they go, when you reach here, they go cut your knee. If you reach here, they go cut your leg from here. If you reach here, and I die with that. See, he didn't listen. No. They cut his leg from his knee. True story. Because pharmacy was treating him. You see, him and the pharmacy, they should arrest both of them together. Him for being foolish, the pharmacy. No, but how did we get to this stage? It couldn't happen in the time I was telling you. The medical profession will not allow it. You even needed prescriptions to go to the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Even if the government hears me now, they might put a law that you need prescription. They know they are fooling themselves because the whole setup already is bastardized. Mm. The government of today or past will just put a law foolishly, but they have not put the mechanism in place for people to carry it. When people are not patriotic, when people don't believe, there is no law you will put in place that will work. When people don't believe, there is no law. When people don't believe, Femi Kuti will always be traveling and his band will run. So what has Femi Kuti decided? Never, ever will I travel with new Nigerians in my band. Ever.
You said new Nigerians?
Yes. I will only travel with those that are still with me. Mm-hmm. If you leave, I'm replacing you with an English, French, American. Then I can sleep at night. The percussionist is American because the percussionist ran away. So I replaced her with a female. So we will replace with a female because it's more beautiful. Men are too rugged. So, and the female have finesse, you know. So I'll put a female, you know. It's got some female playing trombone and all that. So she was crying. She couldn't understand why they ran. Ran? Where is the American going to run to? What, from New York, he wants to run to San Francisco or he wants to run to New Orleans? How do you want to even tell your counterparts in the music business if you are British and Femi Kuti or whoever takes you on tour and you run away?